Welcome to Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the place for everything midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
Hey, hey, it's your host team of the Landlord Diaries, Kelly Bailey and Katie Lyon, midterm enthusiasts. Katie, does anyone call you Lyon? That is such a fun last name.
It is. I got an upgrade when I got married, I'm telling you. No one calls me Lyon, but, you know, it's fun anyway. And we had fun when we were going to name our kids. We wanted to name one of them Rory Lyon or Danny Lyon or Ryan Lyon. It did kind of limit our selection, but I like it. Today we get to talk with Joan. Joan kind of gets to cover the gamut. She does everything from working with investors to finding the right property to property management. We really dive into some great property management tips and actionable items, which are my favorite, anything that I can take away and put into action right away. So please enjoy. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. We love hearing back from you guys and knowing what you think and answering all your questions. Enjoy.
Joan Libigo is our guest today, and not only a landlord with Furnished Finder for 3 years, but also a full-service real estate agent in Arizona. Her motto is plant your roots from the palms to the pines in Arizona with the Palms and Pines Group. Her team helps with buying the home of your dreams, selling, renting, and property management. If you want to reach out to Joan, her website is palmsandpinesgroup.com. Make sure you add both S's. Awesome. Well, let's jump into the first question. You mentioned in our intro call how valuable midterm rentals are in your area. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, we like to have them for the traveling nurses because we do have quite a large senior population here. And a couple of our hospitals happen to be in those senior communities. We get a lot of nurses that get shifts that at those places, and so we need housing for them. They're also competing against our 55 plus residents that like to come down. We call them the snowbirds. They like to come down for the winter, and then we have a large spring training facility all throughout the whole Phoenix metropolitan area. So they're competing against those people as well that are coming for the spring training. So the demand is real high for the properties. And, and I'm finding though that the nurses are the ones that come year round. The other ones are just seasonal.
All right. So Joan, for those traveling to your area or not from the region at all, prices can be a little bit shocking. I know I'm located near Denver, so I'm very much in the same boat when you're looking at rentals and housing in general. You get on and you're looking and you're like, oof, that is a lot. Can you tell us a little bit of background about why the prices are more elevated there compared to other areas of the country?
Well, a couple of reasons I think that they've gone up is because we were so far behind the curve to begin with. Phoenix was an extremely affordable area to live in. We have a lot of people that compare us to places like Denver, New York, LA. And so, they would come here and they would say, oh my gosh, that's all you're going to charge me in rent. And because that was the response, that's all you're going to charge. So then the landlords decided, you know what, they could get more. The sellers decided that they could get more because they were being told, well, that's all you're going to charge me. So they started bringing things up. As across the country, though, the demand is high for properties. And I think it's because we have people that are living longer. We have more generations that want their own place to live. Even when I'm renting to the traveling nurses or to anybody on Furnished Finder, they want their own dwelling. They don't want to share a house with somebody else. They want their own space. Well, there's only so many spaces to be able to have. So, unfortunately, they're not building any more land. So, we're limited to what we can have. In fact, I just read a statistic the other day that Phoenix is over 520 square miles. That's a big chunk of land. It's actually larger than LA.
Yeah.
And we're very, very, very spread out. So the thing is that when we're trying to find locations for the traveling nurses, especially, I believe that a good investment for a landlord would be to find a place closest to a hospital.
That makes sense. And quick shout out, room rentals are definitely popular in Furnish Finder, on Furnish Finder. It sounds like maybe your area, you have a lot of preference for entire units, but don't rule out those room rentals because they are very popular.
Yeah, especially in areas where the options are limited, right? And some mm-hmm. people might have lower budgets. It's good to take a look at all those options for sure.
Yeah, I've actually had some of my landlords take their 3-bedroom units and turn them into individual room units. But unfortunately, the tenants still want the whole place to themselves.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, they all want to bring their 2 dogs, and we can't have 6 dogs in a property.
That is actually a really good point too, because it's quite common for travelers to question, is this an entire place? Is this a room rental? So that's a good reminder to be very clear. All of our landlords out there, be very clear on your rentals, whether it's a room rental or an entire right. unit rental. And a lot of travelers, you know, some of them prefer to have their own backyard and not a shared wall with a duplex either. So it's good to make sure and clarify really well.
So Joan, can you give us a breakdown about what your portfolio is, kind of how you got into it, which properties you have? And then on the flip side, like maybe how many investors or, you know, just mom and pops or whoever that you've helped to get an investment property, and on the property management side. So tell us kind of like your background and where you stand on those three areas.
Well, I kind of got into property management by accident. I had a girlfriend that wanted to, as a result of COVID, wanted to get a bigger house. And so, she thought that she wanted to keep her house as an investment property. So we put it on Furnish Finders. That was our first one. And, rented it out, had no problem renting it out. She was a 3-bedroom house. She wanted to rent out just the individual rooms, which we did to some degree of success until it got really hot. Then when the temperature started to rise in the summertime, that people didn't want to share because they didn't want to have to fight over the air conditioner temperature. But then from there, because I had the experience, then I started marketing that I would be looking for other owners that wanted to rent their houses out short term to the traveling nurse sector. Especially, I found that short term rentals, 3 to 6 months, is actually a hot market. And it's kind of fun as a property manager because you get to meet more clients. And if they decide that they want to come back, I've actually had one nurse that's come back a second time. She reached out to me directly because she knew that I had the properties. I currently have 6 properties that I rent through Furnish Finders. One of them is owned by four of them are owned by one person. She actually gave me the challenge last November, just a week before Thanksgiving, and said, "Okay, I need to buy 4 properties before the end of the year. And we got to get them furnished and get them out to Furnish Finders," because she has a granddaughter that is a nurse, and they realized that they needed, that there was a housing shortage for the traveling nurses, and she just wanted to go in and solve the problem. So we did, and we got them all rented by the first of the year. And then I had another property that was a mom and pop. Just they were looking to do some good for the community as well. They wanted to give back. They didn't want to rent it out long term. They wanted to rent it out to the baseball players because it's of its proximity to the baseball stadium. They wanted to rent it out to the traveling nurses because of the proximity to 2 hospitals. And so we, you know, put it on Furnish Finders and been renting it out ever since. So
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder is the place for you. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees and hello to direct bookings for 30-day plus days. It's a win-win for everyone involved. So if you're ready to experience the joys of midterm renting and take a load off your landlord's shoulders, head over to furnishedfinder.com today. We make it easy to get started. We're grateful to Furnished Finder for sponsoring this episode, and we're sure you'll love what they have in store for you.
So I think you market in a couple places. So why don't you tell the audience where all do you market and kind of how you balance that?
Well, I market on Furnished Finders, first of all. Second of all, I market on the MLS because I am a licensed real estate agent as well. And then I do a little bit on short-term rentals websites. But because we don't want them to be a nightly stay like a hotel, we do rent them out for the minimum of 30 days. And believe it or not, people are looking for that kind of stuff as a relocation. They're looking for it because they've had damage to their own property. As a result of my listings, I do get connected with temporary housing agencies that call me and say, you know what, we're looking for this. Can you give me all the parameters? We're going to send it to the insurance company. If the insurance company approves it, then we'll be able to write a lease. I just actually had one yesterday call me and said that the tenant that we have for them already, she was supposed to be moving out at the end of the month. And she's like, can we extend it for another 3 months? Sure. Yeah, not a problem. Nice. You know, so it worked, right. It worked out for her, worked out for us. And, you know, it's still short-term rental because they're not in there for a year lease. You know, so like I said, makes it easier.
Sounds like a good model.
Yes, absolutely. So your website talks about how your real estate career started when you decided you wanted to give back to the community and get a little bit more involved. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how it's shaped your real estate career and what impact it's had for you?
Wow. Okay. I guess giving back to the community is important to me because as we are citizens of a community, we take from the community, so we need to give back to the community as well. We have a lot of volunteer opportunities to work in my community, and so I volunteer at the baseball stadium and park cars in the spring training. I also find other local things. Yeah, it's kind of fun. I get to meet a lot of people, you know, they're from someplace else. They've got their license plates on there that says they're from, because it's the Texas Rangers or the Kansas City Royals. So they might be from one of those states. But then sometimes they're from another state too. So I get to, you know, connect with them. I've given out a lot of business cards to people that are like, hey, I'd like to move here, or I'd like to find a rental here for the winter time. Oh, okay, great. You know,
right.
So you just never know when you're going to meet people. But then I also volunteer at things for the city. We've done some service projects for the city recently where we've actually gone into a park and trimmed trees. We've gone to fill bean bags for the food bank. They're like a bag about so big that we're filling with dried beans so people can cook their own beans. We're actually teaming up with another organization to produce packets of feminine hygiene products to give to homeless shelters and even the police department, so that they can hand these out to women that are in need of supplies, you know, and because it's not the most obvious thing when they go to a shelter or a domestic abuse shelter or, you know, something like that. So, yeah.
So cool. It sounds like great opportunities to get involved in the local community and also have fun doing it. It sounds like a great way to meet new people and just enjoy your time together. That's cool. So let's dive into what your full service real estate company offers. And if someone's interested in utilizing one of your services, what areas do you cover?
I'm with West USA Real Estate, our realty, and we are the largest privately owned brokerage in the state of Arizona. We have offices all over the metropolitan Phoenix area and then up in the northern sections. And so I actually service in the Phoenix metropolitan area, the extreme West Valley. And so I service the towns in the and on that side, plus the 55 plus communities. That's actually one of my specialties.
Oh, cool.
And then I reached out to some of the local agents in the northern section, found out what I needed to do in order to be able to really understand and sell real estate up there. And they said that I needed to join the local affiliation. So I did. So I joined the local affiliation. So I sell basically from Happy Jack, Arizona, all the way to the Arizona-New Mexico border.
So cool. Wow. That's a lot of coverage.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a platform just to hear stories of different landlords from around the country. So it's important what your, you know, what your W-2 job is and how you combine that with your investment strategy. And, you know, in this case, how you help investors with their properties as well. So it's pretty cool.
Right. Well, and I think one of the other things is that people don't realize that as a licensed Arizona real estate agent, I can literally sell property anywhere in the state, but then I can also manage it too, because I have my National Association of Property Managers as well. So I can manage the properties, doesn't matter where they're at, and there's need everywhere. In fact, I was just in a class where they were talking about rents being $900. Well, guess what? They are $900 or less in some of the smaller communities that I service. Mm-hmm. I recently came across a landlord that's trying to rent out his property in a small community. And I said, I told him that if he needed help renting it out, you know, to let me know, because I do have quite a network of people that are looking for properties, and not necessarily in that community, but if I offered it to them, they might consider mm-hmm. it.
Cool.
So that's obviously an advantage of someone hiring a property manager, right? Is you get instant access to their network, right? Tell me what else, you know, from an investor perspective or just a property manager, a property owner, because investors come in all different shapes and sizes, right? You can own 100 properties or you can own 2.
Right.
I know a lot of owners kind of debate property manager or no property manager. What else are the benefits that you've found, or do you have any significant stories, or tell us a little bit more?
How much time do we have?
Right. Tell me a little bit more about that, because I know that's one of the first questions that, you know, I always hear property owners or investors coming through is, okay, do I want a property manager? Do I want to pay for that? You know, what can they do that I can't? So give us a little insight if you have any fun stories or any, you know.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. So, all right. Well, first of all, not all real estate agents are property managers, and not all property managers are real estate agents. You do not need to have a real estate license in order to be a property manager. So you want to make sure that the person that you're working with is going to fulfill all the needs that you have. And what I mean by that is the investment requirements for getting a mortgage changed. They now have to put more money down, and they now have to pay a higher percentage of interest. It's about 1% higher than what the average mortgage would be. First of all, how you invest is going to be crucial. So most investors are not going to deal with that. They're going to pay cash. Okay. So if you have the cash to pay for an investment, you want to make sure that it's the right investment. I think you also need to put together a business plan. And if you're working with somebody that's a real estate agent and a property manager that knows the markets for both, like myself, then you're going to have that insight, so you make a right decision on the right property. Like I mentioned earlier, that I had an investor or, you know, person that wanted to buy these 4 properties by the end of the year. The thing is originally she thought she wanted to buy houses. And I said, okay, unless you're going to go in and you're going to take care of the landscaping and the painting and the roof and the watering system and all of the things that you need to do in order to maintain a house, if you're going to do that every 3 to 6 months, to go in there between tenants and take care of all that stuff, then yes, a house would be ideal. But if you're not, maybe another kind of a property would be more to your advantage, whether it be a condo, a townhouse, a cottage, something in a smaller community, or something on a smaller scale. Because if you're having a traveling nurse or a traveling nurse and their friend or their husband, their partner, their whatever it happens to be, they don't need a big giant house. They need a smaller space,
right?
Because most of them are just going to be there to sleep when they do finally have that
day off. So thinking about your target audience.
Exactly. So the thing is that you got to pick out the right property, and those properties then are going to probably be less money, because you could buy a $500,000 house. It's 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms and a pool. But how many nurses are going to be able to afford $7,000 in rent?
Right.
So the thing is you've got to understand what's going on. You got also got to know where, like I said earlier, where are the hospitals? Where are the facilities that these people are going to be coming to use that rental? And you can have it in the middle of a town, but if that's so far away from everything, they don't want to travel. In fact, that's one of the things that we right. put on Furnished Finders is, where are the hospitals? How far away is this commute for this particular person? You know, and that was part of our strategy, especially looking for these properties, was how far away are they going to have to drive? Because if they've already working a 12, 14, 15 hour shift, they don't want to put in another 30 minutes. Right?
Yeah.
So hiring somebody that knows the market, knows what's going on, knows where things are, I think is really, really, really important. And then knowing that it's going to cost you some money. So you want to, again, making that investment in cash. So you're not trying to make a mortgage payment. If you're trying to make a mortgage payment from your rent and you can't afford a property manager, but at the same time, the property manager, our job is to be the person that takes all the brunt of everything. I literally had somebody right. move into a rental property within 5 minutes of them moving in. Again, remember, these are short-term rentals, so they don't necessarily see the property before they move in. They just see photos. She moves in, she calls me up and she says, "I can't believe that you're charging me this amount of money to live in this place." And I thought to myself, well, you know, you had the opportunity to you know, you signed the lease and all of that beforehand, but it is also a short-term rental. You're only going to be there for 3 months. Well, by the end of her 3 months, she had totally changed her mind, because what she found out after talking to some of her friends that lived in the same community, that she was getting a special, super awesome deal because they were all paying 2 to 3 times more in rent than she was. So now all of a wow. sudden this place didn't look so bad, you know? So right. the thing is that, you know, you've got to, what are the expectations? The other thing is too, is that as a property manager, like I said, we take the brunt of everything. I literally had somebody call me while I was on vacation and say, you know what? The water heater went out. I said, fantastic. Let me get a hold of the plumber and I will take care of it. Well, we're in a rural community. Guess what? The plumbers aren't available. So we had to figure out another solution. And she said, I will just call my own plumber. And I said, well, you're more than right, you know, more than able to do that if you really want to, you know, but at the same time, you know, I'm trying to take care of this for you. So, you know, I mean, that's my job. Even if I'm on vacation, though, I still right. have to answer the phone. I have a tenant in a property that I need to take care of, right? In fact, I got one yesterday. It was so funny. She was complaining that the cold water is not coming out of the faucet cold. And I said, well, you realize that our groundwater here is pretty close to the surface of the ground, of the earth, you know? And when it's 120 right. degrees outside, the water does not come out cold out of the tap in Arizona in the summertime.
That stuff, though, there's local stuff like that, though, that you just wouldn't know. I mean, even when we go on vacation different places or visit family, there's little quirks that you never know. And you're right. Like, a property owner could be bugged with those calls all the time, just depending on what type of tenant you have there. Some tenants are independent, some tenants need some handholding.
The tenant doesn't care what time it is. you know. So yeah, and yeah, you don't want to do that as a property owner. You don't want to get the phone calls in the middle of the night. Plus, the thing is because I work with a large brokerage, we have vetted a list of people that we can call for service.
Sounds like a lot of good stories between a landlord and a tenant relationship, and just how to balance those and do it with finesse and care and make sure they're happy and enjoying the property. So I think this is a good opportunity for us to jump on over to our what we call our landlord logistics section. And you've said a couple times now, investors like to buy with cash, but not all investors have cash. So what do you recommend for those that don't have the cash that still want to get into investing in real estate?
Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your life? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management with tenant-paid screenings, rent payment processing, online lease creation with eSign, and a suite of incredible landlord tools. You'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. So if you're tired of the rental chaos and crave seamless, efficient management, head over to keycheck.com and sign up today. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners.
I would say make sure you have a plan. Make sure you know in advance, before you make the purchase of the property, exactly what it's going to cost you. And make sure that you have a buffer for any incidentals. Properties in Arizona are sold as is. When it is a hot seller's market, and we're coming down off of that, but when it's a hot seller's market, they don't have to do anything because the properties are sold as is. So does that mean that you're going to get into a property that's going to be sufficient for a tenant? Because there's things that we have to do in order to make sure that the property is habitable. If you can't have problems in the property. They can't have a leaky roof. They can't have a floor that's got bad flooring on it. That's a hazard. If you're going to have kids under the age of 7 living in the house, you have a pool. You have to have some kind of pool barrier. So you have to make sure that all of the things are up to safety. And then of course in Arizona, when it's 115 degrees outside, you better have air conditioning. And if that goes out, what are you going to do? But it's 1.25 times the rent per day that you need to give back to a tenant for any, not having hot water, not having cold water, not having, plumbing, not having electric or heat or cooling. So the thing is unless you want to give back some of the rent, you want to make sure that all your mechanical is up to date, but make sure you've got a plan, have a plan. Just don't go out there and buy the next house. Also have the house inspected. It's part of the purchase, but have it inspected and carry a home warranty on it, at least for that first year, so that you have a backup system to be able to go in there and fix anything if it needs to be fixed.
Nice. Good advice.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's fantastic advice, especially having a plan, because in a market that's changing as quickly as it is today, I mean, I feel like you almost have to have a plan and like sub plans, if A, then this, if B, then this. You have to be able to, Kelly and I talk about this with property owners all the time. You have to be able to pivot quickly. And the nice thing about that midterm, market is you can lease as short as 1 month, or you can take it up to, if you have a nurse who stays for 6 months and then extends, anywhere, like you said, there's such a demand there. And I think as people are realizing that and the potential, it's just going to keep growing.
Oh, absolutely. But again, like I said, it's got to be the right property.
Yeah, it does. You've got to run your numbers. If you're working if you're working with a client, how do you work to accurately kind of set their expectations as far as what they're going to spend, what they can expect for a profit margin, a return? How do you manage that? Because I know, like I said, in this market, like things are changing all the time. So it can be difficult.
Well, I first of all, I ask them, what is their goal? Why do they want to do this? Why do they want to get into property management? You know, some people have the reason that they want to help others, like this investor that I had. Some people want to do it so they can live off the money. Okay, well, then you definitely need to pay for it with cash. Otherwise, if you're trying to make a mortgage payment, it's just not going to work, you know. Because right. What if you don't have a tenant for 2 months or 3 months? I mean, if you're doing the short-term rental and it's in a seasonal community, like a 55 plus community, you could be empty for 9 months out of the year because of the age restriction. You can't rent to everybody. So making sure that you're in the right location and the right property, but what's your ultimate goal? What is it you want to do with this property? Are you buying it now and you're going to use it for an investment for a while and then you're going to turn around and sell it? Or is a family member going to be moving into it later on? Where is the property located? Is it in the city? Is it rural? Where do you want this property? Because like I said earlier, the investors are getting dinged right now. They have to put more money down and they have to pay a higher interest rate. So it's got to be a very educated decision, not just, well, I think I want to get into the investment market. Well, but at the same time, good investments grow over time. So how long do you want to be in the investment market? Because if you want to be in the investment market for only 2 or 3 years, it's probably not going to work.
I do want to add in one just opposite side of the spectrum for our landlords that are listening and our property owners. So my husband and I, our 5 properties are in the Austin, Texas area, all the way up to Belton Temple area. There's a lot of there's a hospital and a military base around the Temple area. So we have the opposite approach of my husband's very much the, I want all my money working for us kind of mentality. So we don't have cash for each of our properties, but we do have W-2 jobs that allow us to qualify for loans pretty easily. And we have found that our model, you know, is the 2 bedrooms or 3 bedrooms that fit the traveling needs pretty well. So I just wanted to add in that opposite way of looking at investing, that if you put less money down, then you also have more money working for you where you can buy more properties. And that's kind of the approach that my husband and I have taken. And it hasn't affected our cash flow. So we currently make about $500 to $1,500 in monthly cash flow per property. And they're also appreciating in the Austin area. So just a different outlook from 2 perspectives from property owners as well. But Katie, what's your next question?
All right. So you guys have kind of different strategies. And I think that's really interesting because there isn't just one strategy to this whole real estate investing. I hate calling it a game, but you know, the game. But I think you guys are both saying the same thing at the core is the numbers have to work, right?
Yes.
Your interest rate, your purchase price, your down payment, your expenses, your mortgage, if you have one, your property management costs, your maintenance costs. The numbers have to work. But one of the lessons that I've learned already is there's always a way to make the property work, right? On paper, there's always a way to change those numbers and make it work. Whether it's, okay, like Joan said, okay, this property would work if you paid cash, or like Kelly, right? Like this property would work if it's cash flowing high enough, right? The question is, do the way the numbers work for you, right?
Right.
So I think that's just really important because those numbers are always so fluid. So is the market. So it's a challenge, but I also think it's it's an industry where we can all get really creative mm-hmm. and think of ways to make properties work. So hats off to you, Joan, for working with investors, big and small, to try to find these properties, because it is not easy. It is real hard.
I talked to one yesterday and she said they've been looking for a year for this property, and she didn't buy the property from me, but now she's coming to me to manage it.
And I think that's another thing to really consider is, you know, once you have this property, it is an investment, right? And you want to maintain it well, and you want to make sure it does appreciate. You want to make sure that no damage gets done. So there's definitely those advantages to having a property manager. So anyway, I just wanted to add that because I think it's really important for anyone out there who owns properties or is considering buying properties to understand that, like, at the end of the day, your numbers just have to work, and then we go for it, right? Okay, so Joan, I have a couple more questions. Kelly and I have a couple more questions in the landlord logistics section for you. As an agent, this is something that you're probably more specialized in than, you know, say any old property owner who doesn't have their license. What's your process to ensure that equal housing opportunity, you know, that you don't violate that and that you make sure that you abide by that every time you have a new lease?
Well, first of all, you have to have your criteria that you're going to qualify them with. And I don't really have to make that up because we have a rule in Arizona called the Landlord Tenant Act that I need to follow as a certified property manager. So, you know, I don't make up anything. I just follow the guidelines that I've already given. The Department of Real Estate puts those out for us. And then it's the person that's the most qualified gets the property. So, you know, if I had three or four people applying for the same property at the same time, we run their credit checks and we do their backgrounds and we check we use a third party to verify pets, whether or not they're actual pets or whether they're assistive animals, and that they go through that process, or whether they don't even have any pets. We still have them use the screening to verify that they don't have any pets when they're moving in, just so that we're not having to worry about pet rents.
Wait, how do you verify that someone doesn't have a pet?
So they need to go to the screening company, and there's no charge for them to say that they don't have any pets. There's a series of questions that they have to answer, and then obviously that shows that they don't have any pets. But it also helps for people that say that I have an assistive animal or emotional support animal, and they're like, okay, what? Well, it's my my emotional support iguana or whatever, you know.
Right.
Then, you know, they have to provide the documentation to that site, and then that site comes back to us and gives us a score. And depending on the score, we either charge them the flat pet rent, or we charge them additional pet rent depending on what the score is. But that's already been revealed to them in the application. So the application is going to tell them, you already got to do this. It's going to cost you $20 per pet. And depending on how the score is, your pet rent could go up or down depending on how it comes back. And they're putting in the information, not me. So if they don't have the shot records, or they didn't get the pet, you know, whatever. I'm not a pet owner myself, so I don't know. But whatever they have to do for pets, you know, if they don't provide the information that's being required of them, they're not going to score the way that they want to score, and they might end up getting charged. In fact, I got one gal right now. She's paying an extra $75 a month because she couldn't find her shot records. I said, well, until you can find the shot records and go in and update the thing, we have to charge you that. But once you do find the shot records, go ahead, add them to the system, you know? So, but literally it's the first person that's qualified that, you know, but I get lots of inquiries every day. I get four or five inquiries about my properties, and they're all asking for an application, which I have it on my website, and I have that in my listing that they can go to my website, but they don't. So they just ask on Furnished Finders, you know, so I send them the application. Some of them return it, some of them they don't. But At the same time, there's also an application fee that's required. If they don't produce the application right. fee, they don't sign the application, and I can't read the application. I can't process the application. So I don't process the application until it's filled out in full, it's signed, and I have the application fee. So if they want the property, they've got to do those three things.
Awesome. Sounds like a lot of documents that do the work for you just by them submitting the right information. So that's great. Have you found the property management side is worth your resources and has been a wise strategy for your real estate firm?
Yes, actually it has, because I actually use it as a source of leads, because people move here for temporary, whether they be traveling nurses or whether they be seniors, because I've noticed a lot of seniors are starting to use the site. I even have executives that are traveling for work. They need a 1 month location because they're going to be here from New York or Florida or whatever it happens to be. But then I just reach out to them too. We also have literature in the property that if they're interested in doing some house shopping while they're here, to reach out to us and be able to work with them that way. But I always stay in contact with them too, because I've gotten their email address. I add them to my newsletter, and I've actually had one reach out to me recently and said, hey, you know what? I think I want to come back and look at some more properties.
Awesome.
That's fantastic. So tell us, I think we have one more question in our landlord logistics section, and then we have just a couple of favorite questions and we'll wrap it up. So do you require renter's insurance and why?
No, we don't, because the properties are, the renter's insurance would cover the contents. And because these are furnished rentals, the contents do not belong to the tenant. It belongs to the owner. So it's as if you're just owning your own home and inviting somebody in and charging them to come stay at your house. It's the same thing. So the contents, because like I said, they're fully furnished with linens and dishes and pots and pans and silverware and all of that, all that's owned by the owner. So there's no need for renter's insurance. However, on the pets, if their score comes back, they might have to get a pet insurance and then put the owner down as the person, to be a beneficiary should the pet cause any problems in the property or happen to bite anybody or anything like that.
Ah, that's great feedback.
I mean, it's just like staying at a hotel. You don't get insurance when you're staying at a hotel in case a hotel burns down.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a great way. That's a question. The insurance thing is one that I've been curious about for a while now. So I love your feedback there. That was pretty cool. Let's transition to favorite Furnish Finder and Key Check features. So either one, Furnish Finder or Key Check, what do you find most valuable about the platform?
The instant notifications. They send me a text every time they sent me an email that tells me, hey, go check your dashboard, that there's somebody kind of trying to connect with you. Although I find it a little easier to just connect them straight through my email. It's very, very helpful when the prospective tenant actually supplies an email address. If they provide a phone number, that's great too. I will call them or text them directly because I want to talk to them and answer any questions that they might have. But email seems to be the most efficient way of doing things. But yeah, I like that I get notifications to go check my dashboard.
That's fantastic. Well, Joan, it was so good to talk to you. It was so good to learn about all of the different aspects and perspectives you have on all things real estate, you know, investing, ownership, management. It's been really, really great to hear all of those insights and perspectives just from one person. So thank you so much for your time and your unique perspective. And hopefully someday, Kelly, you and I can actually get down to Arizona, because I don't know how many Arizona guests we've had now, but every time I'm like, man, we really got to get down there.
When you guys come, I'll have a place for you guys to stay.
Deal.
Great. And just a quick reminder, if you want to reach out to Joan, Her website is palmsandpinesgroup.com. And we just value each one of our listeners. Thank you so much for giving us your time. I know it's important and limited. So if you like the podcast, if you like this episode, subscribe, hit the like button, and feel free to make any comments as well. So thank you so much for listening today. Have a great day, everybody.